My name is Renee Paul, and I first met Georgina back in 1979-1980. So I've known her for just over 50 years. And I met her in a strip club where I was working. I was in that Club Exotic. And she was, her and Dan were over in the Purple Onion. It was just closing down, right? So they ended up coming up to the Exotic to come and work with us. So that's how I met her. And when I first started, I was in Butch. And then about a week later, I had a dress on. And I had Georgie and Dana and Yvette to sort of school me in how to behave and how to react and how to work on stage and then how to dress. And so they sort of guided me when I first started out, and without them, I wouldn't be who I am today, you know, because they gave me the strength to be myself, just to express myself and don't be shy about it, you know. And Georgina always said to me, be proud of what you are. And I said, well, I am, you know. So she gave me the strength to be out there and be myself. And that's over that, you know, I've really got that to thank Georgie for, and for the person she was towards me, you know. So yeah, without her and Yvette and Dana, I wouldn't be here today, I don't think, you know. I might have taken a different road and ended up in a bad place, sort of thing. But with them, they guided me to a right place, and that. So yeah, I'm really appreciative of what they did.
Can you describe Georgina's personality?
Very strong. She had a strong personality. She was very open, very. She spoke her mind, and that's what I like about it. And I tell you, there's another thing about us. There's three of us: Yvette, Georgie, and myself. We're all born in the same month. We're all same age, and that's so. But I was the youngest out of the three of us, because I think Georgia was on the 6th of November, Yvette was on the 7th of November, and I'm on the 18th of November. So we used to have a scorpion party every year, and where I was working up the clique, there was 9 of us that were all scorpions. So can you imagine that? You know, all working together, and we all had sharp mouths and that. So you learn to stick up for yourself really well in that environment and that. So, yeah, I really appreciate everything I learned off Georgie and that.
So, did Georgie have any favourite sayings that you remember?
She had a few sayings and that, but I can't think of any at the moment and that. But she always come up with some really, really trick things in that, and going, oh my God, you're so good with your mouth. I said, there's more than one way of using your mouth, isn't there, girl? We used to say things like that to each other, you know. Like when I first started stripping in that, and as a woman, I mean, I was flat chested. Georgie and Dana had breasts, and Yvette and I didn't. So it was like a competition, and we had to work harder because we didn't have the breasts. So we had to dance better and do everything else better than Georgie and Dana, because they had that, all the assets and that. But it was really good, because it was a good environment to work in, because we were all testing each other and pushing each other to do the best you could. And that's what I really appreciate, yeah.
What do you think Georgie's legacy is going to be?
I think to be strong, to stand up for yourself and never look back. Always look forward. You know, that's what I think anyway, yeah.
Georgie and I met, oh gosh, I'm thinking right back in the late 70s, yeah, about the late 70s, and we all used to dance together up at the Club Exotic. So yeah, so precious memories of Georgina Bayer and the accomplishments she made to trans people and to the gay society too. I mean, just so many, because we were actually discriminated against, you know, being a transsexual person and everything. And then Georgina, what she actually did was that she stomped those all out, especially when she came into Parliament and everything. That was just boom. You know, we just got so many. We're quite privileged to have had Georgina, walk our walk, and then allow her to speak our talk and everything. But I mean, the whole of gay people throughout Aotearoa New Zealand. So yeah, but she was a lovely. She's going to be missed very dearly, Georgina. Yes, but we will always hold her. I will always hold her in my heart and everything. So,
so knowing Georgina right back in the 1970s.
Late 70s.
Yeah. So how was it when you started seeing her on TV as a member of parliament or as the mayor?
So blown away. I mean, that was so, that was a big accomplishment for any trans to even get their toe in the door, at parliament was a big accomplishment for us. But, yes. To see her do that and everything, just so many leaps and bounds that she took. I mean, she had discriminations against her because of her, who she was at that time too. But she was able to stomp those all out and tread on all those things of what people thought about our people and everything. So yes.
Can you describe her personality?
If you ever got on the wrong side of her, watch out. Don't go treading on her toes. Oh my gosh. She will tread on, she will break your foot. Do you know what? She had that personality about her. Oh, not so much break your foot. She will probably put on some stilettos then, yeah, stiletto your foot. If that makes sense. But, other than that, she was a very gentle type of a person from what I remember way back in the day. Because she was very gentle and everything. But as soon as she got into parliament and everything, I hadn't seen Georgina like that. You know, I was like, is this the same Georgina that I knew way back in there? Because she was very, very quiet, very reserved and everything. And she wasn't as out there. But then again, I think there might be the media. They pick up and they show all those angry stuff and everything called about Georgina, but she was a really, really, we're actually quite lucky to have had Georgina Bayer in our community, in our lives and everything. So,
what was Club Exotic like in the 1970s? I mean, there was a whole lot of people working there, yeah?
Yes. It was beautiful. It was, we performed, when we danced on stage, we performed for the likes of the New Zealand cricket team, the All Blacks, the local rugby team here. We're asked to perform for the gang members, you know, the Mangamas, the Black Pals, and I excuse myself every time we had to perform for them. But I mean, we performed for, and then the general public, and we were always busy with the young guys coming in from construction and da 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 da. So yeah, so it was the whole array of, men. Yes, or sometimes some men brought their wives, because their wives like to see queens dancing, I guess. But yeah. She wasn't as built and slim as us girls, but I mean, she was still, yeah.
Do you remember any sayings that Georgie had? Were there kind of phrases that she would use?
Girl, I can see her now. Girl. Like, I saw her back in November when we had our takatāpuri hui. And she turned around, and I had a Coco Chanel gown on. And she turned around and she said to me, as I was walking towards the bus to go to our ball, she was going, oh, I've got a Louis Vuitton gown. Just like that. And I went, oh, well, I'm so glad I didn't wear my Louis Vuitton. But yeah, we had that banter between queens, that sisterhood. Do you know what I mean, Gareth? Yeah, that sisterhood thing. But yeah, no, we're so going to miss her and everything.
What do you think her legacy is going to be?
Oh, live your life to the best of your own ability. Stand proud in your stilettos and be the best that you can be in everything that you do. I guess that will be her. Yeah, that will be her. Her saying and everything, her legacy, I guess. Yeah.
Okay, well, my name is Chanel and Georgina. Oh, my gosh, the first time I met Georgina, I was only new to Wellington and I was sitting in Carmen's. This is just before it closed. Anyway, she walks in and she had this Angora turquoise V-neck jumper on, and I looked at my mate and I said, who's that? And she went, that's Georgie. I went, Georgie who? She went, Georgie Bayer. And I went, is she a queen? And she went, yeah. I said, oh my god, she's beautiful. And she goes, yeah, but don't tell her that. And I said, no, she's just gorgeous. And I got to know her over the years. I actually, I did a show with her at the bottom. It was at Oliver's nightclub. Her, myself, actually, it's on the wall at the S&M. And, you know, she did Mae West, and that was her part. And she had the whole costume, but she was like, she had no cues, no lines. It was just off her head, and it was so, I'd never seen anything like it. And she was just amazing. And I think for Georgina Bayer, you know, having the profile that she grew into came from people like Carmen, who ran for mayor in 1977. She didn't get it because it was a time of that where you had to conform to a standard. You know, and if you didn't conform to that standard, well, you were stigmatized and marginalized and all that kind of stuff. But out of that came good, because today we look she paved the way for Georgina, and not just her, but other people to enter political spaces. And now you look at our rainbow, we've got rainbow people in there, we have rainbow flags outside. So, you know, it's come a long way, but you need somebody to dream that. And then you need the community, next generation to pick that up and carry it. And all those who come with that group, there will be somebody in there that will follow and will be an icon for, or an example for your community. And that's what Georgina Bayer was. And to hear of her passing to me was, really sad, because, she was on fire when she spoke, and she spoke from the heart. I mean, I work for the New Zealand Sex Workers Collective, and I remember she did that impassioned speech at during the night of the passing of the legislation, and she just slayed it. And I think part of that was helped it get through, even though actually that night one minister did abstain from voting, which actually helped, was good luck, you know, on top of what she did. But she was just amazing, and you know, and to her I'll just say, you know, rest in peace. Somebody will come along. They don't come along that often, but they will, and they will pick up where you left off, and you'll be remembered always by not just our community, but by the people of Carterton who adored you. And I hear her naming a street after her, which is great. And a friend of mine emailed me and said, I just want to tell you that I've just lowered the flag at half mast for Georgina Bayer. And I thought, oh, that's so kind. And he goes, and I think they're naming a street after her. And I'm like, wow, that's great. So, you know, Georgina, I te rangi tira, moi mai ra, moi mai ra, haere a tira, haere a tira. Kia ora.
Are you able to describe Georgie's personality?
Oh, well, she actually had two personalities. There was her fire, but she still had that fire. But when she spoke to, like, other queens from her era, she sort of was Georgie and laughed. And when you get those memories into your head, you know, about, and people that you've connected with over years and you've made friends with all those years, everything else just seems to melt away, and you just seem to go back into that and sit down and laugh just like you did all those years ago. And that's what I found about her. And she was really, she was quite funny and very witty. And she was like that, when she was in politics, you know, witty, sharp. And I think, you know, even that part of her comes from, you know, having doors shut on you, slam, 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 no, no, no. And just being able to say, hey, excuse me, this is who I am. You know, nothing's black or white. This is just how it is. And what you see is what you get, basically wraps her up to me.
And what about her performance? Can you describe her in performance?
You mean on stage? Well, I remember going to see her at Bloomers in Auckland, because she was part of that show with Nicole Duval and Bianca and all of them. And, she was just an amazing performer. She was a good lip syncer, but, she wasn't so much a dancer, more a striptease way of dancing, but that's the style that she grew up with. But, no, she was a great performer. And, I remember even on television, I mean, I remember seeing her on Shortland Street, and I saw her on Shark in the Park, pigeonholed into, you know, what, sex work. And it would have been nice if they'd given her something different, but that's the way it was. But, yeah, as a TV performer, she's been acting since close to home. That's how far back Georgie goes. She was great. And I've seen her in all those elements. I've seen her political element. I've seen her showgirl element. And then I've seen her just as she is when we're around talking. Yeah.
What do you think Georgie's legacy will be?
Well, hopefully, not saying a trans girl, but hopefully to inspire younger people that you're living in this world, not a world that we came from, because we came from a different world where things were very, very conservative. And I think, to me, that's when we naturally all come together and say, we as rainbow people deserve a space in this world as well. And I'm so proud to say that I live in a country where the government will look at you and say, hey, if you can do it, go and do it, you know. And we've had a trans girl, we've had a Rastafarian, we've even had an ex-activist as a member of parliament. So if he can do the job, our country is so great. And we still have a little bit to fix up in terms of healthcare and stuff like that, but nothing is ever perfect. And things a stigma, you know, around rainbow people and that kind of stuff is gone. It's not gone. It's just better than it used to be. So young people, just, you know, hold your head up and live your life and do positive things for the community, because that's what helps our community survive. And that's what people like Georgina did. She brought our community's attention to the world. Like, wow, a transgender MP, how great is that? And others are following around the world. I heard there's a trans woman in the American Senate somewhere, you know, but she's got a big battle ahead, you know. But Georgina, she stood her ground and fought her battle to the end.
We're currently sitting in the Michael Fowler Centre, and literally a metre away from us, we have two floor tiles that Carmen sponsored for the Michael Fowler Centre, which are just down here. And isn't that amazing, just that kind of resonance from Carmen, from talking about Georgina, and now here we are in Pride 2023.
Yes, that's amazing. Floor tiles, I'm surprised they didn't put her name on it. Where are they?
We'll go up and have a look at them in a minute, but they're just around here. Yes, I think they should actually dig those four tiles up and do a different colour.
Yeah, I think so, but at the same time, she's got traffic lights and she's got a bench. She doesn't need the floor tiles, but that'll be nice. But it'll be nice to see Georgie's name on something. You know, and so you can follow up from there, and maybe in the future when we're not here, there'll be some younger person, doesn't have to be trans, but just somebody from our community who set the world on fire and done the same thing, you know.
Malcolm Vaughan. First time I met Georgina was when we were both working at the old Royal Oak Hotel together. She was a night security porter, and I was working in the Oaks Coffee Lounge. We met there, and our flatmate at the time, Rion, we all worked together. And Georgie moved to town, had nowhere to live, and we went moving with us. And so she did, and we've been friends for over 50 years now.
What's it like seeing Georgina's progression from working around this area to being Mayor of Carterton to being the Member of Parliament? I mean, that's a stunning, stunning journey.
Oh, it was an amazing journey because when we were flatting together, Rion and Georgie were both, they were working at the Club Exotic, and they were doing dancing and stripping down there. And I remember distinctly, as I said on one of the interviews that I did with Māori Television, that Georgie said to me one day, Lordy, 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 there's got to be a better life than this. And as I said, that's when Georgina changed. And I think she always had a bit of a time with her family. She was basically ostracized by herself, and she just wanted to prove herself, you know, that, you know, I can do this and I am better than you think I am. And that's what she did. She set about to make a better life for herself, and I think that was the name of her book, All for a Better Life.
Georgina passed away just over a week ago now. What's it been like for you and Scotty?
Oh, it's been quite dramatic, really. It's been very hectic. It's not every day you lose one of your closest friends. There's been a lot to do, but we've managed to do all that. I think the hardest part is the grieving really starts after you've done most of the work. You tend to do some grieving while you're sitting with a person. But it's that factor that pops up, like, you know, she's not going to pop round for dinner every Monday like she normally does, or getting the phone call, you know, "Are you home? I'm coming round," you know. They are the sort of things that I think we're really going to miss, and that's just started kicking in this week.
Can you describe Georgie's personality?
Oh, fiery. Let's go with it straight away. As Ron Mark said, they're naming a street after Georgina and Carton. It's going to be called Georgina Byer Way. And they're doing that simply because everything Georgina Byer did, she did it her way. And I think that's just a fantastic tribute. She was outstanding. She's coloured so many people's lives. She's engaged with so many people. Outstanding. I don't think we're ever going to come across the like of Georgina Byer again.
What do you think her legacy will be?
Guts and conviction. She had the guts to stand up for what she believed in, and just the amount of people she's helped over, like, the amount of lives she's changed by standing up, being counted, and being herself, and inspiring everybody else just to be themselves, do your own thing.
When somebody passes, often a lot of people kind of come out of the woodwork from all corners of the world. Have you received lots of messages or communications from people that just kind of blow you away?
Oh, 100%. We've had embassies from around the world popping up on the tribute book, and messages more so from the embassies to our personal email. The amount of outpouring and grief just on the release of the fact that Georgina had passed away was truly outstanding. I think everybody feels the same. In fact, we're still getting those messages today. Flowers have arrived in the bar on numerous occasions. It's been truly outstanding. Yeah, amazing.
One of the things that really struck me was on the night that she passed, Television One News, it was the lead story, and it ran for 6 or 7 minutes, and they crossed live to Carterton. And I thought, I can't imagine any other rainbow queer person in New Zealand kind of getting that coverage from not only rainbow communities but also mainstream communities as well?
Oh, totally, 100%. I think Georgina passed away on the Monday. On the Wednesday, she was on the front page of the New York Times. And I think if you look at her lifestyle, she's made an impact not just here in New Zealand but worldwide. And that's what's truly outstanding about her. For somebody of her calibre and being transgender to make it as far as she did, it just shows how powerful this woman was.
Just finally, how did she impact your life?
Oh, the best friend for life. It's just all about when you've been together so long, you've gone your separate paths, but you've always kept in contact. And after Georgina had the transplant, she was considerably thin, and she'd moved back to Wellington, and it was our point of mine and Scotty saying, we need to look after her. We need to make sure she's okay. We've got to make sure she's eating. So every Monday night we'd have a soiree and a dinner party, and every Monday night Georgie would be coming around. She was entertaining. She was charismatic. The camaraderie we shared over the many, many years, that'll never be forgotten. She's indented in our lives forever, as I think she will be with many people here in New Zealand and around the world.
Kia ora. My name is V. You know, I don't even remember the first time I came across Georgina. She's always been such a public figure, so staunch in terms of her advocacy and her political visibility. Just such a groundbreaker. And I always, even as a young person, knew vaguely before I knew anything much else about her that she was the world's first transgender MP. And I felt so proud that we as a country had supported someone to achieve that. I think that should be, you know, the bare minimum worldwide.
Can you describe the first time perhaps you saw her on TV and some of the footage of her?
Yeah, I remember during the Civil Union Act and the huge raruraru around that, I saw her on TV obviously opposing, you know, Family First, and it felt so empowering knowing that someone was really willing to speak with her whole chest about what she believed in and why this was the right thing to do, why this was a human rights issue.
She struck me as somebody fearless, fierce and fair. How would you describe her?
Yeah, absolutely fearless. I would say a little controversial even within the queer community. I know that, you know, she got challenged on her own views, especially in relation to non-binary people. But, you know, people are a product of their time, and I know that she was always really open to learning, to accepting other people into the fold of the queer and trans and gender non-conforming fold and family. So that's really what I would say about her.
And when you think, I mean, her lifespan and how New Zealand changed over that time, I mean, it's an incredible changes in the last 50, 60 years.
It's an absolutely incredible change. I was born the same year that homosexuality was decriminalized. And growing up in that environment, really, really seeing the kind of casual homophobia, not so casual transphobia that New Zealand was really entrenched in at the time. And I don't think that without people like Georgina, we would not have achieved the place where we are today. We need more people like her. It's a real tragedy that she's died so young. You know, she could have been an absolute elder, statesman, fearless advocate for another 20 years, and we're in a worse place without her.
It also strikes me that actually we have to be so vigilant as well, because the rise of transphobia, particularly transphobia at the moment, is something we have to be very mindful of.
We have to be so mindful of it. I think that there's a real assumption that we can't go backwards once we've achieved forward momentum or forward progress, but you only have to look at America to see that's not the case. If we don't fight for our human rights, and if allies in the community don't fight for our human rights, we will go backwards. We will see an increase in transphobia. So it's on everyone to speak up, to stand out against transphobia, to really call out just what is repainted bigotry. It's the same bigotry that queer gay people faced in the 1970s, repackaged as fear-mongering against trans people, trans women. There is no place for transphobia in the queer movement. You know, queer women, trans women lifted the movement from Stonewall onwards. People like Georgina are always on the front lines, and they're the ones that we need to rally behind and around and really say they've always been here, they'll always be here, and their rights are our rights.
What do you think Georgina's legacy is going to be?
That's difficult to say. I hope her legacy is to show young queer people that we've actually always been here, that they can look back at New Zealand's history and see that long before, you know, the media was willing to include queer people or trans people in representation, that Georgina was representation. And I think that we often lose sight of our queer history. The AIDS epidemic really destroyed an entire generation of queer people, and so it's very easy to lose sight of our own history, the history of the movement. So that's what I'd hope Georgina is remembered for, that she is the history, she is our movement.
My name is Sam. The first time I came across Georgina was when I first moved, after a year I moved to New Zealand, which was around 2011, and that's when I got to know that she was the first transgender MP in the world, not only in New Zealand. So that was my first awakening to Georgina.
Yeah, my name's Aaron. I'm born and bred Wellingtonian. So live in this kind of beautiful bubble in Wellington, and for a long, long time, I've known Georgina Byer through the work that she did, the fundamental work to change this country for the better, not only this country, the world as well, as a real stalwart and pillar of what beautiful change can look like.
When you came across her for the first time, what was your feeling?
Coming from a country where I came from India, so back when I came here, being gay and queer was not that okay in India, so coming here and seeing someone like, as Aaron mentioned, trailblazer, and being the first one to be a transgender MP, was so awesome to see that you can be who you are and also lead by example. So that was my first impression of Georgina.
Being someone who was in the closet at the time, it showed me that you can be your true self. You just have to find love and hope within yourself and then reach out to those who you trust and can confide in. And you can be amazing too if you do those things. And Georgina, I think, is a real symbol for people like us, not just those of us who are out and able to celebrate our identities, but those who can't. And that's also most important. I think it's really important that she was also the mayor in a really rural community of in Wairarapa, which my husband is from. For him, growing up in a farming community, conservative and religious community, that people like Georgina are really important for that intersectionality as well. So an incredible career that spanned not just the liberal bubble in Wellington, but communities like the Wairarapa, where it was also needed to.
A lot of people know Georgina from what they've seen in the media, and I'm just wondering, do you have any kind of comments on how the media reacted to Georgina?
Yeah, I don't know if I would... I would say more so the sentiment around New Zealand. If you look at Georgina's career and those incredible speeches that she did, that came across as really passionate, but also really combative. It's all for the right reasons. Sometimes we just have to scream. And that's about creating positive change. So I think Georgina started healthy conversations. It took time for New Zealand public to understand that, but look where we are now.
Would you say that Georgina was quite media savvy in terms of actually using the media as a way of getting messages across?
100% think that Georgina was an incredible comms expert to get across the messages that she needed to for people like us. We talk about Georgina as a legacy, a trailblazer, a stalwart, a pillar. All of those things come from us seeing Georgina in the media, yep, speaking to the rest of the country and the rest of the world and calling it out where it matters. Georgina's a person. Georgina had a private life. Georgina probably didn't want to have to go into battle, but did because it counted and it was important. So we can be here today at Wellington Pride Festivals out in the city and be proud of who we are, and we owe it to remember Georgina in this way.
So what do you think Georgina's legacy will be?
The legacy would be, for me personally, I think it's about being who you are and also fighting for, not only for yourself, for the rest of us. And I think that's where her legacy for me, that's my personal view. So, yeah.
Like, I hope that for a large part of New Zealand society, that Georgina has normalized people like us. Georgina went through a different generation, and the challenges were extremely tough. It was, you know, the things we got called, and sometimes still get called, are likened to the N-word being said. That's not normal. Georgina went through all of that. Hate crimes. I hope that Georgina's legacy is that the new generations can celebrate who they are, remember those before us like Georgina, to know that the fight started back then, it will continue, and that we have someone looking down on us to guide us along on that journey.
Roger, can you tell me the first time you met Georgina?
Well, it's probably, I've always seen Georgina and known about her and read about her and seen her on TV, but just very recently, we were at a cafe and we sat down at our table having our breakfast and Georgina sat next to us and we said, oh, hello, you know, and tried not to be too intrusive because she was having her own breakfast and we had a lovely time. We were quite excited to meet her. And anyway, so that was quite nice. And then about the following week, we're at the supermarket and who should our trolleys bump into but Georgina. And we again had a lovely little conversation and about the world. And we had, you know, talked about various things that were happening and we kept bumping into her as we went through the supermarket. America, as you do. And then I said, oh, do you need a ride home? No, she had her own car, so that was fine. She didn't need a trip. And then that was that. So it was just a very nice, warm, friendly, and I don't think she knew who we were, but she sort of knew who we were because we were a gay couple, obviously a gay couple together, myself and my partner. And it was just a very lovely, warm sort of meeting. And she looked fabulous.
You would have been aware, though, of Georgina for many years before that.
Yeah, especially for all the campaigning she's done for civil union and marriage equality, and at the parade of the, we were at the Never Enough,
the Destiny Church
with it, and we saw her out there waving her flag and getting quite angry. So we knew her and we admired her from afar.
What was that Destiny rally outside Parliament like?
Oh, it was horrible. There was this very angry crowd there, and we were a little crowd of support of opposing this whole thing that they were on about and supporting I think it was civil union at the time, and we felt very much the aggro of the event, but we all put our chest and got very brave and stood there and stood our ground. But she was out the front.
And then to see Georgina out the front, absolutely shouting at Destiny Church.
Yes. That was amazing. And then, of course, there's all been filmed, so there's a bit of film of it. Right? You can see it on, it's been broadcast and copied, so you can see it if you want to.
So how would you describe Georgina? What was her kind of personality? What did she come across as?
Oh, very, very determined, very, very, very focused, a great wit. She was very clever, I think a very clever person in the sense that she could, in a situation, she could make other people laugh and relax, yet get her point across. And so I think, very admired from all directions, I think from both sides of the political aisle, just for, how well she could do work.
What do you think her legacy will be?
Well, there's legacies, there's civil union, same-sex marriage, prostitution reform act, which is, I think, was probably her main thing that she focused on. Certainly, supporting trans rights, supporting the trans community, making it, a community that can be very fragile and be attacked on all sides. Well, she was a tower of strength for that community. So I think, that's what she was remembered for.
She was the first trans woman that I saw on television. And I love that it was in a political sense. It was in a political capacity because it just showed how strong she was and how amazing the work that she is and how it was all highlighted because she was trans. And she didn't shy away from that. She didn't try to hide it. She was publicly, openly trans. And that really made an impact on me as a small child. So, yeah.
What kind of year was that?
I was in primary school. I was very young, and I remember it being a big deal. I remember it being a discussion at the table. I think it was when she was made mayor. So it was like, it was something that our family talked about as a point of difference, and I went, I find this really great, because I'm part of the trans community, so for me, I went, oh, okay, everybody's out in the public. It's not just me. Yeah.
And do you have any other memories of Georgina?
I remember when she first went into Parliament and just the celebration that surrounded her. I remember seeing her at different Pride events all over the country growing up. I've met her at Big Gay Out. She's an icon, and she's going to be so missed in every sense.
What do you think her legacy will be?
I think that she has created a beautiful legacy for trans women in New Zealand. And I think that she is a beautiful role model of what you can do if you are confident in yourself and you build up the right community around you.
And what would you say, if you had a chance to kind of say something to Georgina now, what would that be?
Just a thank you for the years of service, the work that she's done for both the country and the community, and that I'm hoping she's resting in power.
And the amazing thing, I think, with Georgina is that not only was it a national presence, but an international presence, and the resonance that she created with her advocacy, internationally.
Yeah. And it was never an issue. It was never an issue that she was fighting for. She wasn't going in solely going, I'm trans, I'm just fighting for trans rights. She was fighting for everything, and she put her power into everything, and I think that's really beautiful. Yeah.
Can you describe her personality?
So I only met her a couple of times, but she was really fun and vibrant, and she was the type of person that you wanted to speak to. You wanted to be in her bubble. You wanted to be in her space. Yeah.
My name is Delia O'Shea, and I'm from Intersex Aotearoa. And the first time I came across Georgina was actually, I think, at Carmen's Cafe, which used to be on, I can't remember the street.
Vivian Street?
Vivian Street, you're right, yeah. And so I was probably like 19, 20, just moved to Wellington, trying to find different like queer meccas. And we'd go there and have special coffees, which, you know, had the little shot of whiskey in them. And I remember just learning heaps about the trans wahine, you know, like the indigenous, strong woman that, like, are a backbone of, especially of that area that, like, held the line doing sex work and, you know, created safe spaces for other people. And then of course it was like quick to move into times where we were talking about civil unions and the prostitution, like, reform act. And I was always really interested in, you know, community-led activism. And she was a name that was all over it, making change, fighting the fight against, like, you know, the old boys club within Parliament, and a force to be reckoned with. And the times that I got to be in her presence, you know, she was always so sassy and sharp-witted and intimidating in the perfect way. Like, you know, you knew you could go and say hi if you wanted to, and you'd probably have a cute laugh and chat. But she just had something so dynamic about her. Like, she took up all the right amount of space. So yeah, it's been a real loss to see her go. I think with some people like her, you sort of have this permanence with her. You just forget that people are mortal. So I think quite a lot of people are feeling the grief about her loss. Yeah.
What was it like to see her on TV, particularly around, say, prostitution reform or around the civil unions?
Amazing. Like, as a young person trying to understand, like, sex, gender, like, expression, you know, I think we all took different times and phases and being exposed to different things to actually support us on our own journeys. And I remember my parents, you know, people talking about or explaining about the fact that she was a trans woman. And I luckily can look back and see that that was, like, a positive framing that they gave. They actually did a really good job. And so I know that not all of those conversations would have been like that at the time of her inclusion at such a high political level. But, yeah, seeing her lead the way and talk about sex work openly, in a time where culturally we didn't really have the language for it, or it was like whispered in the kind of the shadier parts of conversations, talks about safety for everyone, right? And talks about the right for anyone, no matter what their mahi is, to feel proud and safe and respected, and they have legal support behind them. So yeah, I think she probably emboldened a lot of other people to stand up for their own rights, and you know, when we came to the civil unions as well, I think she was so responsible for that wave. Yeah.
And when you think of her lifespan and the changes she has seen in that time, going right from the 60s right through to today.
Yeah, I was lucky to watch some of the documentary that explored her life recently, and to see her when she first was able to live her life in her true expression as a woman in Wellington, and then to think of all she achieved in her life, it makes me so humbled that someone could, I guess, like, as Māori woman, as a trans woman, fight up against all those oppressive systems and actually be the change, and be brave enough and tenacious enough to work within a really, like, heteronormative, patriarchal, colonial system, and, yeah, make that sort of change. I hope she fully could comprehend how amazing that was. Yeah, because we all definitely feel it.
What do you think her legacy will be?
Like I said, I think she's sort of got, you know, I think we assumed immortality for her. So I feel like that, yeah, like I said, the sharp wit, the tenacity, the determination, the non-apologetic way of just being herself and not taking anyone's crap. Yeah, I think that's a really powerful legacy and an amazing model to young trans Māori wahine coming through. Yeah, to know that there is a pathway for them as well. Yeah.
And I think, like you said earlier, to be the change.
Exactly. Like, imagine, you know, seeing that huge wall of oppression in front of you and actually carving a pathway, not just for yourself, but for your community. And you know, talk about so many taboo things and bring them out into the open and make people laugh about it and feel comfortable. And yeah, she was really very clever and tactical in the way that she did that.
I guess the first time I think it was when I've been in Wellington for about 17 years. And I think that when I started, getting involved with NZDF as a volunteer and also to be part of Te Whana Whana, and I think that's when I started getting familiar with the name of Georgina. And I know that the girls at NZPC, obviously because it was, Georgina did a lot for that bill as well. So that's how I heard of her. And then I think that the first time I met Georgina was at the Hui Takatāpui, as a guest. And I can't remember what date that was, but that's when I met Georgina. Yeah.
Can you describe her personality?
Oh, like, she was onto it, right? I mean, you know that because of her career, you know, she knew her, can I say shit? She knew her shit. She was very intelligent, and I knew that she came across like, fair's fair, but don't cross the line. Do you know what I mean? And I knew that a lot of people spoke highly of her as well because of what she's done in the community here, you know? So, and knowing that she was in Wellington as well, and obviously from Wellington here, if we, you know, we embrace our community here as well. So she was part of that as well, yeah. Yeah, she was a wonderful woman, wonderful.
What are some of your most memorable moments of Georgina?
I think one of the most memorable is absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, is when they showed she faced Destiny Church outside, and that sticks in everybody's mind because she really went out in a dangerous situation and stood there and blatantly was very vocal about disgusting the way that they're talking about her people. She didn't say her, she said her people, so she was speaking about everybody else. And you know, as you know, Gareth, we know a lot of Whakawahine here, and because of that, and because of what she's done, you know, she's definitely very, very memorable, very memorable, very important part of, yeah, the trans community, for sure, without a shadow of a doubt.
Her resonance, not as only in Wellington, New Zealand, but also internationally, isn't it?
Oh, I mean, of course, like, the first MP, the first transgender MP in the world has absolutely, definitely inspired people. And I'm sure that she's flown around to do these talks and to have that figure and lead by example. Wonderful. One of the things that I remember about Georgina is that when she was in a hospital bed and she was on a dialysis machine, and she informed that people just walked across the road and ignored her. And that broke my heart. And it broke her heart. A strong woman to show her feelings, to show vulnerability, because sometimes you can't show vulnerability when you are at a high caliber as she was. And so that was definitely one of the things that sticks with me is that just people were blanking for what she did to our community. And I guess that that was other politicians, because it probably was it because she was good at what she did. She probably fell out with them, but, you know, it's sad that you get treated like that.
I think one of the other key things with Georgina is she was honest, and actually for probably a lot of politicians, they're not necessarily that honest.
She called it out, and I'll tell you, I don't think it's just a Georgina thing. I think Maori call it out. They see bullshit. They call it out. And I really believe that. My husband's whānau are all the same. My friends are all the same. They know and they call it out because they ain't got no time for bullshit, you know? So she definitely called it out. She definitely ruffled some feathers, but that's what she was meant to do. And she did a lot doing that as well. And she got to where she was. And she changed things for our community. Absolutely. Rest in peace, darling. Georgia, you're not in a better space now because we want you here, but, you know, for what you've gone through, relax, stare down on us, and hopefully that people can carry that legacy on that you've worked incredibly hard for. Love you dearly, darling.
What do you think her legacy will be?
Oh, to be strong, to never give up, and to really inspire people that she ended up being a mayor after not being long, and then going into parliament, anything is possible. It's about believing in yourself, you know, and I think that she's definitely led away for a lot of trans girls here, and she's done wonders, absolutely. So there's so much legacy that she can fulfill.
Kia ora. So my name is Annie Jones. I identify as she, they. So I moved here from the UK in 2002. And I suppose I first was really struck by New Zealand Parliament being so progressive, actually having a transgendered member of Parliament, and just thinking, this is really, really amazing. Yeah. I guess my other memory really recently of Georgina Bio was being at World Pride in Sydney, walking down a street, seeing a big stage with a big screen, and there was Georgina Bio talking about her legacy, sat in Scotty and Mal Bar, and just thinking, how wonderful her legacy and her work being recognised internationally as one of the most progressive transgender people, I guess, in the world. Yeah.
I remember Georgina Bio mainly through her speech for the Prostitution Reform Act. So I've seen that delivered by her and also performed by other artists a number of times, and it never loses its impact for me. So I think that's one of her most enduring legacies for me. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't aware that those words said in Parliament have been turned into performance.
Yes. I've seen them performed at the Naked Girls reading event previously. So, they have been turned into a performance and read as part of a record of New Zealand's Aotearoa's history. So I think that's one of her most enduring legacies for me. Mm-hmm.
One of the stunning things I think you've touched on with Georgina is that not only is it a national legacy, but it's also an international legacy and reputation.
Totally. I can't think of anyone else who's that I know of that has kind of, I guess, shaped and changed the world in the way that Georgina did. Leading from the front, I guess. And her passing, I guess, was really sad, and I think will resonate with a lot of people, that we really want to remember her and continue her legacy and think of ways that we can positively do that. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess my hope is that Georgina's legacy paves the way for a lot of other trans and gender diverse politicians. Just that her legacy will pave the way for others, which I think she's already done. Yeah. Mm.
Did Georgina impact on your lives in any way? And if so, how?
Probably not directly, but I guess I would just say, like, just having that visibility of someone in the community who's actually transcending into local government and then also international government. I think at the time when I first came to New Zealand in 2002, there weren't that many Rainbow Members of Parliament, and so obviously now there are quite a lot, but, you know, she was really a starting point. So I guess just having a role model to kind of show what's possible in a very kind of positive way, I think that's impactful for any member in the Rainbow community. Yeah.
Yeah, I work in the area of gender-affirming voice, so I'm a speech and language therapist working in the area of gender-affirming voice, and a lot of the people who I meet cite Georgina as an example of who they want to sound like and the mana that they want to project when they are speaking. So I think that's how she's made the most direct impact on my life, yeah.
And what about her legacy? What will her legacy be, do you think?
I guess she'll probably just go down in Rainbow history and will probably be always someone that whose name will resonate with the Rainbow community, and I suspect will be continuing to see video footage of her, hopefully, at different events. Yeah, as we move into the future, that would be really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, just more out Rainbow politicians, I think, will be her enduring legacy, I hope. Yeah.
My name's Don Rathel. I didn't know Georgina. I'd seen Georgina in the media a few times. I just have one memory, and it's a very cute anecdote. I used to live in Evans Bay Parade here in Wellington, and I enjoyed crossing the road every now and then and go down on the beach. It was a rather rough, rocky beach there, and I would wander around. It was a pleasant place to spend an hour or two. And I looked up onto the footpath, and there was a man running past, a jogger, in very, very brief short shorts, and runners, shoes, and nothing else. And he was extremely buff. Very, very hot guy. He was just jogging past, and I just watched him for a while, and then I just watched him run up to the corner, and a car came down driving towards him and started parping the horn, as generally happens when men do it when they see an attractive woman. And I thought, that's interesting, that's cute. And then the car came towards me, and it was Georgina. It was Georgina driving around the bays, just enjoying the view. And I thought, that kind of fits with her reputation, I think. That's my sole memory, but I thought I'd share that one.
Well, I arrived in New Zealand at the beginning of 1998, and I'm fairly sure I knew of her already because I followed the gay press in Britain, and gay press in general is much better at doing international news. So, I met her up on a number of occasions, but I can't remember the first one. I bought her book, which came out the next year, Change for the Better, and then went to a gay dad's meeting, which is a bit spurious because I'm not one, but never mind, in Carterton, and she turned up, and there's the signature in the book, and you see, by then she'd become the MP. The other time I remember seeing her, although I didn't speak to her, is when she came out and faced Brian Tamaki's mob in his dreadful Enough is Enough rally, which ensured the passing of the civil union bill. And the interesting thing there was that it was the first time that I'd ever seen her deadnamed or misgendered, and that came as a surprise.
Can you describe what Georgina was like at that Destiny Church rally?
Fearsome. She just came out and yelled at them. So, and none of the, she was the only MP that did. all the rest of the MPs went to ground very, very quickly, because there was a counter demonstration as well that I know that several members of the GAP board, Rainbow Wellington board, I was actually working in Parliament at the time, so in the library, so we all came out onto the terrace in front of the library and got a sort of good view of it all.
What was the feeling for yourself knowing that Georgina had your back, that, you know, there was somebody out there literally facing people down?
Yes. Oh, well, yes. But one wasn't surprised. She did things like that. And now I'm rereading the book to do a tribute in the next Capitie Gay. It's not surprising. She's been very... It wasn't surprising because she's been quite clear that she did not take a shy or bashful. I think it was so sad that she became so ill. Last time I saw her, I thought she was better. She'd had it was at an out in the park fair, and she was sitting there looking all bright, having had a kidney transplant.
What do you think Georgina's legacy is going to be?
I'm pleased that one thing about her death is it's reawakened interest in her. You know, I can't imagine any other member of our communities being the headline news on the news at 6 on TVNZ like her death was. So obviously that legacy is still still very strong. And we desperately need it now with transgender people being under such fierce attack. Not so much here at the moment, thank goodness, but we can so easily be polluted by American and British and British ideas.
Kia ora, my name is Ruth, and the first time I came across Georgina was actually in our high school history class. So yeah, we were learning about Stonewall, we were learning about the history of Pride, and then we turned to, yeah, incredible advocates within New Zealand and leaders in that area. So that was the first time that I heard of her, yeah.
What was it like when you came across somebody locally that was being such an advocate?
It was incredible, yeah. I think for a lot of us it was opening our eyes that this does happen in Aotearoa, New Zealand. I think we thought a lot of it was overseas, but to see somebody... yeah, in New Zealand, leading the way and, yeah, so fiercely advocating was incredible and a huge inspiration, I think, for all of us. Yeah.
And I came across her when she was involved in Parliament. My name's Christine. And also then she went on into the Wairarapa and she did some outstanding things both on a national level and at the community level. And I just learnt before that there's a documentary and I think I'll look out for that Georgie girl. She was an amazing woman, yeah.
Can you describe her personality? When you saw her on TV, what was she like?
Yeah, I've just been recently watching a lot of clips back, but I would say fearless, just incredible, quite funny as well. Yeah. And yeah, I think really warm and open and was talking about really serious issues, but did it in a way that everybody could be involved and learn about them.
And people could relate to her. Yeah. She didn't mind saying what she thought.
Yeah.
And she was quite strident, but she got people on side. And I think she was a tremendous advocate.
Just going back to school when you first came across Georgina, how did the class respond to those kind of local activists?
Really good. I think it gave a bit of a blueprint for what could be done in Aotearoa, and for her to be the first in the world, that was so cool that a pioneer came from New Zealand for that. So yeah, we just kind of realised like, oh, this happens all around us in our communities and we should be a part of that as well if we want change. Yeah.
What do you think her legacy will be?
She's an outstanding role model.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, and I think that straight upness and standing up for your community so selflessly and putting yourself out there, I think that will be a huge example for a lot of people.
Well, my name's Leleel Tritho and I'm a trans woman living in Wellington, New Zealand. And the first time I became aware of Georgina was actually when she was running for Parliament as the first openly trans MP. At the time, I was in the closet, and she was just a huge inspiration to me to say, hey, there are trans women out there. We can actually do anything we want to do. She's been a role model of mine forever, and it's just terrible, devastating to hear of her loss.
Can you describe her personality?
I never met her very much, but I saw her personality, and just really so full of life, so many awesome stories to tell, absolutely lovely person to get to meet and know.
And I think just the honesty, which really gets me, and the fearlessness, and also the advocacy as well.
The fearlessness, it seems to be a thing that happens a lot with trans women. But yes, it was hugely inspiring. But if you're not fearless, you don't come out. You just have to be. And that, I mean, I'm going to be a bit of a rant here, but I think that is almost a problem, because we shouldn't have to be fearless to be ourselves. We should be able to be ourselves without fear, without need for fear.
I think one of the big things with Georgina as well was that it was very much, judge me on what I do.
Yes.
You know, judge me on my actions.
Absolutely. And it was just hugely inspiring and awesome to see her. And so cool to see she actually made it into Parliament and stayed there for quite some time. That was just really, really awesome.
Do you have a favourite Georgina moment?
There's so many of them, I'm kind of mind-blanking to choose one at the moment. But the thing that really does still stick out as the biggest thing was just the sheer courage it took to stand up and run, especially running in the Wairarapa at that time, is amazing.
What do you think her legacy will be?
I think she leaves a really strong legacy, both in stand for getting into Parliament, her work in the councils, and her work as an activist and a speaker after leaving Parliament. All of that's going to leave a huge legacy, huge shoes for us to fill, stepping up for trans women everywhere.
Yes, because it wasn't just in New Zealand, was it? It was international.
Everywhere. Absolutely everywhere. She stood up for all trans women. And, yeah, it hurt hearing that she'd passed. It just, I'm shocking. Not very surprising, unfortunately, but shocking, and it hurt. And we're going to miss her. She will be missed.
When was the first time you came across Georgina?
Oh, I was just trying to think about when the first time was, but the biggest memory, and I was just talking about this with a friend last night, was at the Civil Union Bill protest at Parliament in 2004. And there were, you know, kind of 5,000 Destiny Church people in their black T-shirts shouting at us and, you know, threatening us with violence. And she strode out onto the forecourt and just made this amazing speech, you know, to them, a challenge to them. And it was so powerful. Yeah, we were talking about what an impact she had then, because it felt like Labour had stepped back a little bit because they were worried about how it was going to go. And there was her going out and being so strong and so brave in a very scary situation.
Can you describe what that situation was like? Because as you say, there was like thousands of Destiny Church supporters. In terms of people that were supporting civil unions or just standing up for rainbow communities, like how many people were there?
There were a few hundred of us. I know that the Parliament ground was pretty full, and they said they had a lot more than they did. But it was very scary. So they were getting right up in our face. They were wearing black. They were, putting their fists in the air in a way that was very reminiscent of fascist Germany. And I was running UniQ at the time, and I was worried about the safety of our group who were there, and then all these other people who were invited along to join us as well. They threatened to throw me off the wall at Parliament. They were shoving us around, getting right up in our faces. It was pretty horrendous. And we were worried about the safety of people in town after the event as well.
And what was it like then to see Georgina come down the steps of Parliament and just kind of eyeball them?
Yeah, it was amazing to watch, and to see their reaction as well. Like, they did seem a bit concerned about this force of nature coming across the forecourt at them. Yeah.
So how would you describe her? Like, I mean, you've said force of nature, which I think is a wonderful description. But what are some other words that would describe Georgina?
I think of her as a complicated human. There was all these amazing things that she did, in terms of first out trans mayor and member of parliament, and getting elected in a very conservative part of the world in the Wairarapa. And all the activism that she did, but it's also complicated by she had a hard life, and as with anybody who has a hard life, it affects the way that you interact with people. And yeah, I think some people need to cut her some more slack for that.
Do you have any other memorable Georgina moments?
Oh, the most recent time that I saw her, she didn't look very well, and I told her how amazing she was, and she seemed surprised that people still care, and I thought that was sad. We don't necessarily look after people very well.
What do you think her legacy will be?
All the firsts for sure. Yeah, so. Yeah, first out trans mayor, first out trans MP in the world. I hope people remember that speech at Parliament to Destiny Church. Yeah.
So I can't remember if Georgina was there because I cooked myself a little bit too hard. It was at Carmen's farewell ball. The date was, I'm pretty sure it was the 24th of February, 1988. It was held at the Majestic Cabaret. And I was staying, I'd just arrived off a train from Gisborne, and I was staying with Donelda, who was one of our fabulous community members, who was working at the Cave at the time. It was Cuba, up in Cuba Street. I think it's called the San Fran Bathhouse or something now. Anyway, and we went to Carmen's farewell ball, and I'm pretty sure Georgina was there, but I was a little bit cooked to remember. Too many party pills.
So when was the first time you can actually remember Georgina?
I think first time I can remember Georgina was when she was on the steps of Parliament, and just being her fabulous self, being powerful and, sorry, it's a bit moving, but being powerful and strong and visible. And she was like one of the people who was, and it just an extraordinary experience of pride. And fearlessness, yeah. And she was always fearless and present and true to herself, which was wonderful.
Was that during the Enough is Enough rally at Parliament?
I think it was that. That was an absolutely terrifying day, I've got to say. We were totally surrounded by this mob that came up the hill. They came up the street and then came and just surrounded us, and they were screaming at us across the barricades. And the barricades were nothing much. They were quite flimsy and, terrifying. But she, you know, she was just fearless.
What was that feeling like when you saw her coming out of Parliament and staring down members of Destiny?
So I didn't feel so powerful within myself, especially when we were so close to them physically. But having her come down as a member who carried the mana of the House, and then coming there and fronting them and saying, we don't care what you think, you horrible Enough is Enough people, and we will, we're just here and living our best lives. Yeah, she was just so wonderful and powerful, yeah.
How would you describe her personality?
She was fairly outgoing, one would have to say, and fearless. She was a bit, she was pretty direct. She didn't suffer fools, and if she thought you were being a wanker, she'd tell you. Or she thought whatever, you would definitely hear it. I remember the last memory I had of Georgina was in the baggage carousel. We both come in from a plane from Sydney, and she was at the baggage carousel picking up her bags as well, and having a conversation, and she was very strident in her opinions. It was after she'd left the Labour Party, and she was, I felt she was pretty hurt and pretty upset from the experience, but she was no less fearless in her perspective, one would have to say.
What do you think Georgina's legacy is going to be?
Oh my goodness. It's a worldwide legacy. She was, oh goodness, what would you say? I mean, you could say love conquers all. Seems a bit trite. But I mean, she was just so, powerful and so willing to be herself. And I mean, for trans community people all over the world must have seen her and seen how much we loved her. And it, hopefully it gives them, a sense of what's possible for them. You know, as a young gay man growing up and knowing that the Netherlands was a safe place for me, I always thought that, you know, if it gets really bad here in New Zealand at my school, at Gisborne Boys High School, at least I can go to the Netherlands and it will be okay. So hopefully for the trans community, Georgina and her place and the love that we held her, the esteem, the respect and the care that we had for her, hopefully that says to other trans community members all over the world that there's a place in New Zealand for you, even if it's not where you're growing up now.
Well, but can you describe for me the first time you met or were aware of Georgina Beyer?
In a conversation in Potoraru where a couple of people were talking about a tranny down country who was running a town. And with all that language, they were actually respectful. And it made me think about how people misjudge small communities. And in fact, small communities embrace talent because you have to embrace talent to survive. And good on Carterton, you know? And I think the thing that was so important, although we hold up the big picture of Georgina and her life, and that is important, but it actually tells us a story of a nation. It tells us a story of our culture that we too easily replace our ideas of small towns with bigotry and backwardness, and yet it was small towns and the people that they value who led the world in this case, who gives this nation and the world their first transgendered politician at such a level. That's a community, that's a family, and all the people who know that family and the people who work with Georgina, that's a wonderful thing. This is bigger than an individual.
Can you describe Georgina's personality?
She, a film I did was, got some awards in a festival and she was speaking there. So my limited exposure to her was she was somebody who was very at home with a microphone. She was very at home being central stage and she fucking loved it. And good job, you know. So she was no wilting violet, but behind that, there was sweat and rolled up sleeves. And that's, I don't mind if someone likes the right limelight if they're fine to be behind there doing the mahi.
But I also think that the limelight wasn't necessarily about Georgina. It was, she actually used that platform to move forward issues, didn't she?
She wasn't a consuming ego. She was good. She liked that space. But she liked that space because that was the space she was called to be into. That was her natural space. And so she used her talents in that space. So some people are gifted with public address. Some people are gifted to move a room. She had that. And we're better off because she exercised that. But she never elbowed anybody out of the road to get there. So that's a good thing.
What do you think her legacy will be?
I hope it's more than just a number. I think her, I mean, the legacy will go, people will talk about first and how important, but actually, again, I would come back to her legacy is about how small communities can grow great leaders and how leadership is something more than celebrity. Leadership is about being prepared to work wherever change is needed. And so the legacy will be for us as a nation less about an individual and more about a kind of person and a kind of community who formed a very productive relationship.
I first remember hearing of Georgina Beyer when she stood for Parliament, I think it was. And actually it was when the council over in the Wairarapa, I think. Was that first? Yeah. So I remember seeing her name come through and thinking that my sister and my parents would definitely not vote for her because they were all national voters. This is going online, isn't it? But they did. They did vote for her. And I think they just saw what a genuine person she was and how good she would be for the community. Yeah. So, and then to see her go through to, being in Parliament, just amazing. Yeah. And, I'm just in awe of everything, that she did, particularly standing up for, the Prostitutes Collective, I think, as well. And in fact, we had the opportunity recently to go down to the Rainbow Room at Parliament, and it was really lovely to see her photo up there, and I was just really sad to hear that she had passed away, so, yeah.
How would you describe Georgina's personality, do you think?
Oh, kind of cheeky is what I remember hearing, and, one thing that I read this week that I've forgotten was that, you know, the interactions with her in Parliament were always, people sat up and listened, and she was a really great debater in Parliament, yeah, yeah.
What do you think her legacy will be?
Well, I hope that it will encourage more people to stand for Parliament and to, I mean, we were just talking in another context last week about how, you know, some of the better things that are happening for the trans community in Europe. This is the ILGA report into Europe and Central Asia. But also some of the, you know, the really negative harassment that's going on. And I think we need more people to stand up and kind of basically be part of those kind of institutions that are making rules for, you know, for how our communities should continue, just so that we don't end up having that harassment or even those legislative limitations that are happening all around the world at the moment. So I think, yeah, definitely we need more trans in Parliament.
So my name's Tony, and my first interaction with Georgina was when I was 16 years old in Alfie's in Auckland, in 1986, and she was performing on stage. Yeah, incredible for me for the first time to see someone in that environment like that, as someone that had just come out, you know.
Can you describe her performance?
For a newly out 16-year-old kid, I'd never seen anything like it. It was mind-blowing. You know, there was a whole crew of them and she was part of it. And then to watch her journey from showgirl to, you know, being in Parliament, it's just been incredible, you know.
What has it been like watching her as she's kind of done that journey through kind of being Mayor of Carterton and then Parliament?
I think it's an inspiration to our community that anything's possible, you know. No matter what, anything's possible as long as you put your mind to it, you know. It's all I can say is it's inspirational, really.
Can you describe her personality?
I never actually personally met her. I only saw her through media. For me, I think she was just fearless. You know, she just broke through all these barriers and she wasn't afraid to be fearless about that.
And just to be herself?
Yeah. Yeah, which is part of being, well, you know, which is part of the Rainbow community is being yourself, and that's being fearless, you know.
What do you think her legacy will be?
I hope that her legacy is going to be around inspiration, being fearless, being who you want to be, and being loud and proud about it on a global level. Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah, right.
So my name is Robin, and the first time we're from Gender Minorities Aotearoa. And the first time I was aware of Georgina is when I was probably about 10 years old, living in the Wairarapa, and she was the mayor of Carterton. Yeah, so, yeah.
And what was that feeling like when you saw that she was mayor of Carterton?
Well, I think back in the, I was just like a baby queer, I wasn't even aware of my own queerness, but like, I think she was the only trans person I knew. Like, I think my mum explained the concept to me, and I was like, that's cool, but like, that was it really, yeah.
I think the first time was when I stumbled upon Georgie Girl, the documentary. And I guess that was the first, like, good experience to, like, learn heaps about her. And it was, like, yeah, it was, like, amazing.
Can you describe Georgina's personality?
Oh, my goodness. She's just so, like, iconic and statuesque. I don't know, there's something... Oh, I don't know. She's just so cool and like collected and like amazing. Like she had this, it was like kind of like an energy that was kind of like everyone's auntie, but like the cool auntie, I've only met her a couple of times, but like every time she was just so, she like, hello, how are you? And I was just felt like she was somebody you could just like have a cool conversation with and like, yeah.
Did she have much to do with gender minorities out here at all?
No, not really. No. But it was really cool that her friends and family donated her clothes to us after she passed. But like, yeah, so she had us in mind, obviously, yeah. So.
What do you think Georgina's legacy will be?
Oh, goodness. Well, I think she's like made such a lasting impression on so many people. In Aotearoa, especially like trans people, I think of like, and I remember watching this, interview, I think that she did where she, was expressing her like gratitude for being able to like live like as like a participating citizen in this country, like, and even just like her being grateful to be like, able to just exist, I think is like a huge thing as well. Like, cause I think when I was reading that, I think that really stood out to me. Being able to just like be yourself in this country. Her being like trans and visible and public and loved, I think is like crazy. Yeah.
I definitely think that we need more trans politicians and that like, her being the first, I mean, in the world, like, she was first mayor of, like, a country, like, she was the first trans mayor, she was the first trans politician, and I think we need to continue that, especially, like, the way the world's going, like in the States, how it's all kind of turning into a weird fascist, anti-trans place, and, like, I think New Zealand needs to, like, pave the way by having trans people at the forefront and making, you know, policy and all that good stuff. So, yeah.
Well, particularly when you consider that it was 25 years ago next year that Georgina was Member of Parliament. And you think, well, who's the next trans Member of Parliament?
Yeah. No, and I think it's crazy. Like, she was so, like, ahead of her time. Like, I mean, like, people would be up in arms about it if this was happening in like the UK or the States. Like, we're like, oh, we're going to speak out against, like, you know, like with Eddie Izzard in the UK, like even her own Labour like government were like against her just being trans. Like, yeah. But I think New Zealand had this huge love and support for Georgina that, we wouldn't see anywhere else in the world. Yeah.